morning we're going to look at immodest dress. If you would turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Over the years, Christians have been teaching their children how to live holy lives in an unholy world. Our young people learn that there are many activities in this world that are not fitting for Christians to participate in. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Excuse me. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The world finds great enjoyment in things that involve the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Christians should love what? Remember Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. As the weather warms up, we generally wear less clothes or lighter clothing. There's nothing wrong with adjusting our clothing to fit weather so long as our clothing adequately covers our bodies. The fashion of the world, of course, is to wear scanty, provocative clothing, especially when weather is warm. Unfortunately, some in the church will be more influenced by the fashion of the world than by the Word of God. I'm going to read an article from the Truth magazine. This is not directly tied to summer or what we wear when the weather warms up, but it has great thoughts on the subject we're going to look at this morning. The article is entitled, Can a Christian Be Miss America? There's nothing wrong with beauty or admiring beauty, whether in nature or in person, The beauty pageant, though, takes it a step further. The physical form and beauty of the female girl or woman's body is put on display as an object to be judged. Clothing or lack thereof is worn to immodestly highlight the attractive features of the female body for all to observe. The swimsuit competition is a favorite part of these contests just for this reason. And it is just for that reason that faithful Christians have to explain to their daughters that they cannot participate in such things and be righteous before their Creator. But now it has happened. According to the Christian Chronicle, March 2006, pages 1 and 27, a member of the Church of Christ is now Miss America. Jennifer Berry, who was baptized on October 2005 at the Skiatook, if I'm pronouncing that right, Oklahoma Church, won the 2006 Miss America pageant this past January 21st. Perhaps some would say, oh, she's a new Christian, she probably doesn't know any different yet. But hang on, there's more. Her traveling companion is Debbie Kendall, who has served as the traveling companion for Miss Oklahoma winners for 13 years. Mrs. Kendall is the wife of a deacon at the Skiatook Church. What we have is a deacon's wife intimately involved in beauty pageants, encouraging and helping young women in this worldly pursuit. All this is reported in the front page. All this is reported with a front page picture and a flattering article in the journal that labels itself an international newspaper for members of the Church of Christ. In the past, brethren would have been ashamed to report such things. It is reported that Mrs. Kendall had a hand in the conversion of Miss Berry, which is wonderful, but I am more than disturbed by the obvious lack of concern for the worldliness that both of them are involved in. There is just no way to get around the fact that worldly activities and immodesty are at the core of these beauty pageants. Yet a deacon's wife continues to be part of them and encourages others to do so, with the apparent blessing of her husband and many of her spiritual brethren. Even the world understands that the purpose of the swimsuit competition is to subductively display the female body, not her brain, and certainly not her spirituality. In an article accompanying the PBS American Experience film, Miss America, we find this interesting comment. The tension in the Miss America pageant competition between judging women in swimsuits and offering them college scholarships is one that continues to plague the pageant. It is difficult to reconcile asking young women to speak intelligently on a social issue while in another part of the competition asking them to silently display their bodies. Cultural scholar Sarah Bennett Weiser describes one local competition where the contestants were asked to give their autobiography speeches while in swimsuits. This was a disaster. Most women struggled to maintain their poise. In a national pageant, women do not speak. They walk about and show their achievement in attaining a contemporary ideal of the female body. The other attributes, personality, intelligence, and individuality, are judged in other segments of the competition, especially the interview. The saddest part of all this is that many Christians among supposedly conservative congregations today would have no problem with involvement in such worldliness, and fewer pulpits are warning against such things as immodesty. Satan has done such a good job in getting worldliness into some Christians that to hear and observe them, you would not know that they are Christians. They see nothing wrong with stripping down and displaying their bodies before jeering judges and lusting audiences, smiling and waving for a worldly crown for earthly acclaim, or even just innocently encouraging someone to do this. Why do so many seem so unconcerned about the will that God commands women to adorn themselves in modest apparel? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. First Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. Has a love for this present world turned our ears deaf to the divine standards of morality and godliness? Let's look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And let's also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need a revival of true holiness, not just talking about it, but actually living it. Let's also look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." As the days become hotter, fewer things are more comforting than a dip in the pool or a trip to the lake. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the cool relief of the water. The problem arises when we strip down to almost nothing to do so. It is truly a shame that some claim to be Christians and see nothing wrong with this. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read 7, 10, and 21. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. This is after they ate of the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 10, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. The account of Adam and Eve clearly tells us differently. After making coverings of fig leaves in verse 7, covering which could not have covered any less than modern bathing suits, Adam says in verse 10 that they are still naked, even while they were wearing fig leaves. Verse 21 goes on to show that God clothed them with tunics of skin. Men notice that there's no exception given for Adam because he was a man. How embarrassed and ashamed would we feel today if God appeared on the scene and placed more clothes on us because of the way we were dressed? Some brethren seemingly think God's law on modesty are suspended in the summer or that are only in force at the church building. Sadly, immodest dress has even made it into the assembly in some places. How many so-called Christians will lose their souls on Judgment Day because they refuse to heed God's admonitions about immodest dress, Please do not cop out by saying God never defined modesty and only society does that. You better spend more time studying God's Word and less time walking around in skimpy clothes, for God has clearly defined modesty in the Old Testament as having your thighs covered. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Talking about people taking care of the altar here. Exodus 20 and verse 26. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. Now let's go to chapter 28 and verse 42 and see what they were commanded. Exodus 28 and verse 42. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. They shall reach from their waist to their thighs. In the New Testament, let us see what Paul wrote. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I think we already read one of these, but we'll read it again. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let's also look at what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning and arranging of hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be with the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. In both covenants, God has spoken and had a standard for modesty. Does that make a difference to us? It should. Our clothing is modest only if it is becoming appropriate, suitable, or proper to women and men professing godliness. Brethren, how successful do you think we'll be in trying to get out of all these definitions of modesty, of modest apparel? It is a fact that times have changed and styles have changed and society has changed. However, the Word of God has not changed. The human nature has not changed. Several years ago, a well-known preacher wrote the following: What's wrong with mixed swimming? I cannot speak for the ladies, but I can speak for the men. There's not an ordinary man who can look at a woman clad in nothing but a bathing suit for a long time without entertaining evil thoughts. But some will say it doesn't bother me. One who says that may be so young that passions have not arisen, or he may be so old that they have subsided, or he may be so ignorant that he doesn't know what's going on, or he may be lying. The following survey appeared in the December 1982 issue of Psychology Today. The survey was done in June of that same year. The survey may seem outdated, but if anything, the situation has probably gotten worse. Reasons men go to a beach: to swim, 14%, to sun, 7%, to be watched, 10%, and to watch, 69%. Reasons women go to the beach: to swim, 11%, to sun, 43%, to watch, 7%, to be watched, 40%. It is indeed true that not all men go to the beach to watch women, and not all women go to the beach to be seen by men. But enough admit their reason to show that the child of God must be careful. We must be careful of our intentions when we dress ourselves. Instead of being called bathing suits, modern swimsuits could better be described as baiting suits. Whether done intentionally or not, the way we dress can cause others to lust after our bodies and sin. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. In order not to leave anyone out, Jesus addressed the one who is enticing another to lust in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Luke 17, verses 1 and 2. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. There are many explanations for immodest dress, but the real reason most members of the church persist in wearing clothing that is immodest and indecent is simply this: God's will is not important enough for them to yield their own will to Him. Let's again turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Strength, this is the first commandment. And John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 5. If you would turn over there. Acts chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29. And we're going to try to compare this. I just came up with this morning. So we're going to try to compare this with the lesson that we've just taught. Verse 28. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood on us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Society was trying to tell the apostles, Christians, what they should do and how they should act. Society is trying to tell us how we should dress. And verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. It applies to this and it applies to everything else that society is trying to push on Christians today. I really do hope that all of us enjoy the summer. God blesses us with warm weather during the summer. But we just need to remember and remind ourselves of what the Word of God says. Keep the Lord first and foremost in your heart and dress appropriately. Your soul depends on it. Julie and I went to my niece Whitney's birthday party, and we were just debating this morning whether or not it was before we started swimming or after we started swimming. But there was a child there that was probably no older than Rebecca in a bikini. Now, you know, nobody's looking at a 3-year-old in a bikini and saying, oh, she's got a good body or anything like that, or lusting after. But consider this. That 3-year-old someday going to be a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, and she's going to be around a swimming pool, probably dressed the same way that you taught her to dress when she was 3. And there's going to be men there that are going to look at her and lust after her. And in today's society, you can turn on the TV almost by a monthly basis or even more often than that young girls are being taken, they're being raped, they're being molested, and they're being killed. And a lot of this probably has to do with the way they are dressed and how they're showing their bodies. And I'm not saying that it's all their fault, because there are men out there that have demented minds that are doing this to these young girls. But we need to remember that our children are going to be in the world someday without us being there, and we need to teach them how to live and how to dress. And that's my lesson for you this morning. I had one other thought I thought of. There's a popular saying that's been around for a while, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, consider this. If Jesus were standing here, would I be wearing this or have my child dressed in that? If Christ were here, would you dress your children in a bikini or have your child running around naked or any, you know, whatever else? We need to consider these things. That's the lesson this morning. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you wish to, the Bible teaches us that we must hear, believe, repent, and confess, and be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. It's the obedience to the will of God, not the water, not the person baptizing, but the obedience to God's will. For to have our sins washed away and to live godly lives after we have been baptized, so that we can find that home in heaven after the judgment day. If there's anyone here that needs to respond to that invitation, we can help you this morning. If you're a member of the congregation, member of the church, and you've fallen away and need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we can help you with that too, if you'll let us know as we stand and sing.